But yes, I set my alarm at 1:55 because otherwise I will completely not notice the time.
See, Karen's here. I thought Chuck was you. Can you guys hear me? Okay?
I live in front of my computer,
yeah.
So I have it all set up to remind me.
Smart. Awesome. All right. It's funny. I literally got a text 2 minutes ago saying that my flight's canceled today. So I was going to leave right after this call. Yeah, I was planning on going to the airport right as soon as we were done. And then I just got a text. Oh, your flight is canceled. Okay, great.
Oh, nice.
I'll have to
work. Are you going home or are you?
Home. Yeah, I got the kiddos at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Anyway, good times.
Oh, are you not home?
No, I'm in Philadelphia right now.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's been crazy. But, yeah, it's hilarious that they could just sort of text you and change things. Good times. Oh, well. Who else is on the call? Oh, it's already time when I won. Nobody. Just you guys.
Well, back in the good old days, you got to go to the airport, and then you'd find out that it was canceled.
Valid point. Thank you for the reframe on that, Chuck. That's much better. Very, very valid point. All right. And Chuck, you're in the hot seat today.
All right. This thing's under Charles, right? Eventual Millionaire.
Yes, it is under Charles. Correct. Before I knew how cool Chuck was, we created those under Charles. That was Rivka?
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Is Nicole or Victoria on yet, or Jason?
I'm on. It's Nicole.
I'm on as well.
Hey, Victoria. Hey, Nicole. And Jason's not yet? Wow, interesting. Unless he's on vacation. Everybody takes vacation. Let's check. So let's start. We'll go around the room as we always do. I'm going to start with you, Rivka. Give us your wins and accountability. Now I hear a really weird noise. You guys could go on mute if you're not talking, unless that's my issue. But Rivka, I'll have you go first. What are your wins and accountability for the week?
So I'm doing good. I did everything that I had on my list to do, which is awesome. And, just trying to focus on kind of doing some new things. I have one thing that I'm really excited about this week, which is just there is a woman who has like a 1,600 person team that does an MLM, and she's having me come in and do some training with them. So that could be really exciting. So everything is good. Like, I just have to make sure I'm not overdoing it, and I, you know, get to a place where I'm feeling good and I want to do 50 million things, and I can't do that. So, but it's good. It's good.
Definitely. And I love hearing the chipperness in your voice for sure, but I know you're dealing with a whole bunch. We've been texting and stuff like that behind the scenes. So it's amazing to hear. And yes, regulating your own self is always fun. The over-optimistic, excited brain over things until it turns into mush and then we can't do anything. That's the problem. Awesome. All right, Nicole, I'm going to have you go up next. What are your wins of accountability for the week?
Everything's good. I sold my first spot for the master, for my next mastermind, so that's good. Now it makes me be like, okay, now after really getting gear.
Yes, right? I know that feeling. You're like, okay, now it's real. All right, I took money.
Like, okay, I need them, and I'm like, oh, shit.
That's awesome.
And then I actually, like, someone was interested in the mastermind, but is having a baby, so she's signing up for, like, a really small one-to-one package, which feels really, and I really felt like on the call, like, other than, you know, not being able to do much because she's having a baby in a couple months, like, just where she's at with her business and everything sounded, like, very ideal for the type of client I want now, so that's nice, too.
Yeah, that's really nice. Ideal clients are killer. Congratulations. And you posted yours on 6/16, so cool. So we'll have that for next time. Awesome. Is Jason on yet? No. All right. I know he said he had family and stuff like that coming into town like crazy, but I know he's continuing working, so I just don't have him on my little sheet, but that's okay. Someone was going to say something?
Just the same thing.
Hey. Okay. Yeah, but I know he's also been having family like all crazy. So I'm going to check in on him. I'm going to check my thing because we usually have a little sheet that says when your vacations are. Like, I know Nicole's is coming up soon, and Karen's is coming up soon, and Karen's is really long and coming up soon. Anyway. All right, Victoria, you're up next. What are your wins in accountability?
So for the wins, a couple of the projects came through for me this week, something that I kind of estimated, I don't even remember, 2-3 months ago, something like that. So I got approval to go ahead and do them, so that's exciting. These are my wins.
Nice.
Also, kind of researching a new idea, keeping my options open. So I've dedicated some time to that as well. And so far, I'm feeling really good about it. But, you know, it's just the beginning. So it's always fun. So that's it.
Well, cool. Well, let me know how things are going as you do it. So that way I can help too. And I know we're chatting on Wednesday either way. But, all right. I speak to Jason and Karen. I'm going to have Jason. Oops. Yeah, okay. So he's hopping on. Karen, what are your wins in accountability for the week?
Okay, so wins, we have, so I am leaving a week from tomorrow for a three-week vacation. And while I'm gone, we have a guest instructor teaching a workshop. We already have 35 people signed up, which is, again, way very high for this far out. So once again, Lane's whole approach is getting more people in earlier, which is great. So it's also great from just a cash flow point of view before I go on vacation. So
oh heck yeah.
Yeah.
Fill it and up before you leave and then you can spend more on vacation. No.
And then I did 3 out of 3 last week.
Killer. Awesome. Is Jason on yet? Or are we gonna skip
over? I'm just made it. Sorry, I'm late.
It's okay. What are your wins in accountability for the week?
Yeah, so they're kind of one and the same. So I did 3 of 3 for last week, and my win is that I have the Spanish course is being translated, so I've got a couple videos already done from that, and I have one person that agreed to let me sell their course, although I do not have access to that course yet. So those are kind of the same things, but I'll take them.
Wow, you're fast at implementation. I love it, Jason. You're like, oh, we're already starting the course translation that we talked about last week, right? Man, congratulations. That's killer. All right. Chuck. You are in the hot seat today, and you are up next. So, of course, wins and accountability first, and then everybody pop open his sheet. It is eventualmillionaire.com/Charles, to be formal, so that way everyone knows, so we can hop on that. And then we'll walk into the hot seat. So, Chuck, wins and accountability first.
All righty. So, as far as wins go, I don't know. I've been so focused on all the stressful downside part of this whole thing, but I did get 2 different companies to agree to sponsor, so hopefully those checks come in this week and then things aren't as stressful. My accountability, I got 2 of the 3 done. I would have gotten the email campaign done, but I've got a bunch of questions about that, and so
okay.
Yeah. So I'll ask some of that here.
Perfect. All right. So I'm gonna we're gonna lead into the hot seat, of course. But I'm also gonna update everybody too because we chatted on Friday about all this stuff. So we started to prioritize everything that he's got. So you sort of have a heads up on what we're talking about. But we were saying sponsorships first and then the remote conference, and I gave him quite a few different things. And if you look and scroll down underneath Jamie's notes, you'll be able to see all the things we worked on with the email launch sequence kind of stuff over on Friday. So that's number 2 priority, and then the beta is number 3 priority, so where we're at. So lead us into the hot seat, Chuck, so that way we can give you exactly what you want out of today.
Right. So I was really excited about the May challenge. I talked to a ton of people and the sponsorships just didn't materialize, which now has me thinking maybe I didn't have quite as good a handle on this sponsorship thing as I thought. I'm still talking to people. I'm pretty sure that I can line some stuff up. But to give you a little bit of history here, so last year I talked to a whole bunch of people and I decided to raise my sponsorship rates. And so I did that about this time last year, and things went really well through the end of the year. And then I had one sponsor basically quit on me, and he was a fairly large sponsor. I won't go into the details, but he wasn't happy with me. So he quit in March, and I had another sponsor pay me a big check in April, but I spent half of that just paying my taxes. And anyway, I'm not going to go into all of the things that I put money toward instead of actually working out some kind of payment plan or something. But anyway, I'm in kind of a cash crunch. I've been there for a couple weeks, and I'm trying to figure out how to get more money quickly. And what I have coming in sponsorships is it'll get me through a week or so, but I have some other things that I haven't paid that I need to pay. And so I'm trying to balance all that out.
The ones that you talked about that are coming through, aren't they over 10 grand? It's only going to get you through a week?
No, I heard back from them. They want to sponsor one show and then the other show. So it's about $2,500. And the other one's about $2,500.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Anyway, I'm hoping that I can, make some more of this stick. And I've been reaching out to companies about sponsoring the conferences. And there are a few companies that I've talked to that seem interested in that. So I'm hoping that'll bring in a few $1,000s as well over the next few weeks. And then I'm working on the remote conference. I think once I have the beta done, then I'll be focused a little bit more on marketing that. But for right now, I think the other two are, plenty of things to think about. And I can only sell one thing at a time, mostly to my list.
Yeah, which is what we're talking about on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless I'm selling to different segments, which I'll be doing later this year, but that's a different thing. So.
Totally. And you also talked about the remote comp last year made 15 grand, right?
I went back and looked. It made closer to 5 grand. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. We got to get your numbers so we know exactly what's what, because it's hard to make decisions,
yes,
right, on what goes where.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's good to know. Okay.
Chuck, that was one remote conference?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So when we talked, let's do this. We'll talk about the sponsorship really quick first, and then we'll move into the remote comps. The beta, like you said, isn't completely finished, hence the reason why we put it third. But what's the price point on the beta when you sold it to last time?
When I sold it to the people that I was interviewing, I sold it for $300 a piece.
Yeah, so it's a lot higher of a price point than the remote comp one.
Yeah.
But it's a different segment a bit too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Can you remind us what the beta is? Is that a course or something?
Yeah, it's a course. It's how to find a better developer job.
Okay.
So let's move into this. So let's talk about the sponsorship side of things first, and then we'll move into the remote comp, because I can also explain the launch sequence that I was giving you in detail off this call too, so that way we can get everybody else's feedback on this.
Right.
So sponsorships, right? When we had talked before, especially before the May Challenge, it was all about, hey, this is really, really going well. What do you,
right.
And that's why we were leveling up what was going well, but what do you think the issue is right now? That way we can try and clean that piece up. Because right now, last year, that's where you made most of your money, right? That's where the consistency and revenue can come in, because you can sell in package deals, right? So you can sell 6 months in advance, which is awesome. That being said, it sounds like you're having a heck of a time now. So give us an update as to what you think is really the problem, so we can help you either hash out the sales part or the marketing part, so that way it'll work a little bit better.
Right. So some of the people that I'm talking to, they basically just said, look, that's outside of our budget. I've had a few people tell me that So for example, one of the companies, it's a medium large company. They basically told me that their fiscal year ends now, and so they're trying to figure it out in their marketing budget for next year. So I probably won't even know anything from them for a few weeks. So the sponsor that left, it was partially my fault, partially the editor's fault, but his ads didn't make it into all of the shows that he paid for.
And so I
don't blame him for being upset. I've offered to, you know, just put him in more shows, you know, regardless of whether he renews, and he hasn't responded to that. One of my other sponsors that's been sponsoring for quite a long time, he said that the sponsorships aren't as effective as they used to be. So...
Do you have the data on all that?
The data on...
On your sponsorships right now and, like, how many leads you're sending them or anything like that?
I don't have that information. A lot of times, I can go and I can look up how many people click through from the website, but it's hard to know how many people are actually listening to the show and then typing in, their website and signing up. So,
do you direct them to a specific call to action, though? So, like, a specific website, go to this for whatever the discount is, so that way they can measure them?
Some of the sponsors will do that, and some of them won't.
Wow.
And so,
okay. Great.
So, yeah.
Easy.
And then
so they can't
the
measure it at all.
Yeah. And some of the sponsors that that do have something like that set up, it's hard for me to get the numbers from them. So,
yep. So there's going to be an update, by the way, to Apple. I don't know if you saw that, that Apple will be able to tell you how many people downloaded versus how many people actually listened and how far through they actually listened, just so you know that's coming out.
Oh, nice.
Hopefully soon, thank goodness. Only on the initial podcast app on iPhones, though, so I'm not sure, or the one that they'll download on Android. But it's not everything. It's not tons and tons of data, but at least it's going to be really helpful for the sponsorship side of things because
right.
You have no idea, and downloads are silly metrics to go by anyway, and therefore sponsors are dumb and they're not measuring progress, well, of course, who knows? They could be like, well, I guess they're not really working. You're like, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So ideally, it's a numbers game for them. They want to make sure that they're making enough
right.
from what they're doing. And if you can prove that you can, then you should have sponsors, not easily, but pretty easily, right?
Right.
Okay. So I have a couple questions. How many warm prospects do you have on the sponsorship side, right? Because we did a ton in May of outreach, right? So how many are warm new guys, right? And what if you have it, what was our ratio on how many people we contacted versus how many people we actually talked to and that sort of stuff. Do you know any of those numbers?
I don't. I'd have to go look them up.
Okay, I'm going to write that down. Does anyone have any questions on the sponsorship side or any ideas? I know you guys don't typically do sponsorship type model, but do you have any thoughts for Chuck to try and get a handle on this?
This is Nicole. Just curious, do they tell you what kind of results they're looking for, or do you give them examples? Like, how do you even know what would be, like, measurable? Are they being clear on what they think, or?
So I have started asking for that,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't had any new sponsors since I started asking for that. So,
okay.
So generally, yes, you know, sometimes they'll tell me. Sometimes they don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't always know how to help them with that.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was just curious about if it was like one of those clear things where it's like, this was what we wanted, or it's like, yeah, this isn't working, but they weren't even sure. You know, they didn't really even think about it. Yeah.
Yeah, so I have, for example, a past sponsor that I've been trying to get back, and they told me straight up what their cost per acquisition is, or what,
mm-hmm.
you know, or what their lifetime value of their customer is. And so they basically say, look, in order for us to make a profit, we have to spend less than this much per.
Right.
You know, and so that's helpful because then I can, you know, tailor things for them. But, yeah, a lot of the rest of them, you know, I mean, my
yeah,
largest sponsor.
I was wondering how consistent that was amongst each sponsor, too.
Yeah.
Results, because that could be tricky.
Yeah, my largest sponsors tend to be more about the branding play.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's not really a number.
Right.
And then, you know, a few of my sponsors have said, well, we just want to support the community. But then, and so the one that just came back and said, hey, we're not seeing the conversion numbers. They basically said we want to support the community, but it turns out they also want it to pay off. So, and they're like, and we're just not seeing very many signups from your channel. And I'm like, well, that, you know, but
right.
they're a training company. They teach people how to do Angular. And most of the people who listen to the show already know Angular. And so I've been talking to them about positioning and things like that to see if we can make it work.
Okay.
Chuck, are they writing the ads or are you writing the ads?
It's usually a blend. So usually I ask them if there are particular things that they get testimonials about or things that people say they really liked or, you know,
okay.
people give them reasons why they sign up. And then I kind of wordsmith it into my own words so that it reads smoothly and things like that. Because a lot of times I just wind up with a set of bullet points from them.
Yeah, I know what that's like. Yeah, and I don't like saying things their way at all, so I rewrite a
yeah.
whole bunch of stuff. But I'm wondering, there's a lot of pieces of this process, right? One, closing,
yeah.
right? Talking to them and closing them, but also making sure that we are delivering the most bang for their buck because they'll keep signing up. And
yeah.
ideally, I know I have friends that will sign up sponsors for a year and get a humongous check at the, you know what I mean? And that
mm-hmm.
ideally would be great for what we're looking for you.
Yes.
But of course, knowing who the sponsors are and being able to go after them and make sure that the data on the how many emails versus how many replied versus how many you talked to versus how many you closed versus the money side of it, it would be really good to know. So if you have a spreadsheet on that that you can share with us at some point or share with me anyway, so that way I can
right.
go over some of those pieces. Because if we did all that outreach, we should be having a lot of warm prospects right now. How many do you think that you've sold from all that crazy outreach that you did? I know it's a
How many warm prospects do I have?
Yeah.
I would guess probably around 20 or 25.
Okay.
And some of them are larger companies, too. I mean, I've been talking to Microsoft for about a month and a half, and
right.
they sounded interested, and then I'm not hearing back from their person, so I keep following up. So.
Yeah, and their sales cycle is slower. I didn't assume that we would get
yeah.
all of the people in the on May, just because especially the larger companies do have a really
yeah.
crappy, annoying sales cycle, for sure. I know one of my sponsors would cut a check once a month, and that was it. So if you missed the one-month thing, they have to wait for the next month, which is a pain in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
But you have 20 to 25 warm prospects that should turn into something afterwards. So do you
yeah.
have a sequence or something like that, that you're following up with then? Because 20 to 25 warm prospects is killer, and that could, even if only, you know, part of them came through, could really set yourself up for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a sequence that I've been following up with them. Or at least, maybe I should be a little bit more clear. So I have a sequence that I put them through to kind of get them on board and to do a call.
Mm-hmm.
The follow-up sequence is mostly just, hey, I, you know, I'm checking in. I know you get busy.
Yep.
Is there something else I should be sending them?
Yeah, I'm gonna give you a little link that we can write up some follow-up sequence stuff on. Because how responsive are they to that? Is it working right now, the follow-up sequence that you have right now, just the checking in sign?
Sorry, can you hear my son?
Hey, is that
screaming?
Your son? Yeah, I knew it was somebody.
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day yesterday, by the way.
It works sometimes. I don't have a good number on that either.
So I have a quick question. With your sponsorships, like what are your... I'm assuming you have different packages, yes or no? Is it just like you're a sponsor or not a sponsor? Or do you have like various different things that you offer?
Right. So I've done this differently over the last while. So basically, sorry, it's kind of distracting having that screaming one on behind me. So when I first started doing it, yeah, I would sell each position. So people would buy in and it cost the most to be at the front of the show and the least to be at the end of the show. And then I changed that up. So it was just, you know, you pay the most to be at the front of the show and then you rotate in the back of the show, mid and post roll. And then anyway, that just turned out to be a royal pain. And so when I raised my prices, I just said, look, you're either a sponsor or you're not, and we'll just rotate your position with the other sponsors. And that's when things really picked up as far as like income went. And it seemed like it was actually easier to sign sponsors, even though I was charging more. And so that was last year when I made that change. And then I also changed things so that it was a per episode sponsorship, but those kinds of sales turn out to be a pain because a lot of people, oh, well, we'll just try it for two episodes. And I'm just like, well, you're not going to get anything out of two episodes. And so, you know, then it becomes a, well, is he just trying to sell me more episodes or is he telling me the truth?
Right.
And so, anyway, so I moved it back to per quarter. And then, I decided to offer a small business package. And so for the small business package, it's a lower CPM, which is cost per thousand downloads. So that brings down the per episode price a little bit. I offered them 8 episodes instead of 13, which is a full quarter. And they just don't get the front spot if they're not sponsoring at the higher level. And so I've had a few people that seemed interested in that and seemed to put things more in within their budget, but I haven't had anyone close on it yet.
Do you have a sales page for this or anything that I can like look at, or is it just all just on the phone kind of thing?
If you go to devchat.tv/sponsors.
Okay.
Or sponsor, is it sponsor or sponsors? It's sponsor, devchat.tv/sponsor. There's a sales page up. So.
Okay, I'm just going to look at this for a second.
Yeah, because if we have 20 to 25 and we're mostly going on quarters, I mean, that should help with the cash flow problem big time. Of course,
yeah.
It takes a while to be able to do some of this.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, and I'm also doing the conferences as well, so I'm looking for sponsors for the conferences. And that's another thing that I'm wondering about. I've reached out to a few people about the conferences, and I'm getting some interest there. I'm wondering if I'm not asking enough or whatever. But it's pretty early in the, you know, the cycle for that. And
for the conference?
I honestly, yeah, as far as I haven't been selling those sponsorships for very long.
Oh, it's still early in the process. Okay. I was like, your conference is a month away. That's not early.
No,
okay,
no,
I hear
no,
what
no.
You're saying. How many have you sold before? And is it the same process?
So I've sold them in the past. But it was kind of just an extension on top of the podcast sponsorship. I've reached out to a few companies that have sponsored the shows in the past to see if they're interested in this because I set the base sponsorship rate for $1,000. I don't know if that's way too low or way too high or what their expectation is. Primarily because most of these sponsorships are in person and so they get to go and meet people at the conference and things like that. And I think that's some of the value they feel like they get out of that. But then to sponsor an in-person conference, they also have to pay travel expenses. So,
okay. how many sponsors did you have before and how much did they pay? Because what I'm trying to do is go, okay, where do we focus our efforts, right? And if normally we'd go to back to the sponsors that you currently have right now and try and, of course, get them to sign up ASAP, right, to really go crazy for the remote conference side of things. And then, of course, the other ones that don't know, like, and trust you will just take a little longer to close. And if we only have a month, we really want to make sure we do some of that stuff. Not that we can't be prepping for the next type of conferences and sort of doing that due diligence anyway. That being said, I'm trying to close people quick, right?
Yeah. So when I was selling some of these earlier this year, I had a couple of companies that were interested, but they wanted a guaranteed number of attendees, which I hadn't sold that number yet, but they wouldn't even pay me until I had that number of attendees. And I got that number of attendees like 3 days before the conference, and then they were like, well,
yeah.
You know.
how many number of attendees did they need?
I think they wanted 100 attendees.
Oh, that's not much. Heck, you could have given away 20 spots to random people for him to get the sponsors. That's what I would have done if you didn't hit the number.
I should have done that. But, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm trying out this summit format this time. And so, I mean, the tickets are free and then they pay for the extras. So I should easily be able to hit that this time for the other conferences, not for the one next month.
Oh, not for my, okay, phew, not this one. Okay, I was like, I didn't know that's what that was. Okay, perfect. That makes sense. Can we go back to those sponsors and start selling those now, the ones that wanted 100? Be like, oh, we got it last time. We've got one coming up.
Yeah, I should do that.
Many. Okay, go do that. Because if they were about to say yes and there was two, how much were both of those?
I think they were $1,000 or $1,500 each.
Okay, so not only offer one conference, offer a package of the rest of your conferences too, especially if they're the type.
Yeah.
Chuck, I don't know if it helps, but in my field, in-person conferences generally start at $500.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that means anything, but...
Yeah, that's something to think about. I mean, I just made up the prices because I talked to some folks that run in-person conferences, and I mean, some of the numbers, they were, you know, their lowest sponsorship starts at like $2,000 or $3,000, and then some of the other ones, yeah, their basic sponsorship level is like $500.
Yeah, they always end up with, like, bronze, silver, gold levels.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking at. And maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll just do, like, a bronze level that's $500 and just see who wants to buy into that.
So I, like, I'm looking over this page, and, like, way down on the page, you just kind of, like, mention, oh, by the way, like, we have, like, a whole bunch of followers on Twitter, on social media, right? So maybe as far as levels of sponsorship versus having, like, say, okay, here's front roll, end roll, like thinking of the sponsorship more broadly outside of just being on the podcast itself. And maybe you have, like, your baseline that is on the podcast, and then, you know, a higher level, maybe like a mid-tier level that also includes a specific number of social media shout-outs, right, where you can tag them. And then they can see that, you know, delivering additional results as well, you know, just being like, hey, shout-out to your sponsor who does blah, 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 blah. And then maybe a top-end tier that's like the podcast on-roll sponsorship, the social media sponsorship, and you're like a bottom-level sponsor for our live conference and what that includes. Because that allows you to still create multiple price points, which anytime, in my experience, most of the time, if you can give people more than a yes or no option, if you can give them an option of like this, this, or this, they're more likely to pick one of those things, because otherwise it's like 50% yes, 50% no, right? As far as what, you know, versus saying you want this, this, or this. So then that's really utilizing the social media piece more, and maybe will help close some of those,
you know, some of those leads saying, hey, we're just introducing this new level where you can get, you know, not just the podcast on roll thing, but we also give you shout outs on social media to X number of followers. And that may push them over the edge and also give you a way to get a little extra income. And that's something that's really easy to execute on, right? Because as soon as you close that deal, you just schedule all those posts. And it takes you, you know, X amount of 15 minutes to schedule the posts for the next 3 months to give them their agreed upon shout outs. And it doesn't add like a ton of extra work to your plate or make things more complicated.
Right.
But it adds value to them.
Do you do any of that, Chuck, right now or no? Because I remember last time we were talking about I thought I already sent this to you, but if I didn't yet, the sponsorship kit like that Natalie Sisson gave to me to take a look at, because she talks about email lists, because you have a huge email list, well, huge, but a pretty gosh darn big email list also. And so your people getting in front of those people could be huge also. So just like Rivka's saying, there's so much more money than just CPM that can be there. Because they're just looking to get in front of those people and make sales. I mean, that's usually the goal.
Yeah,
so if you can help them
sense.
With whatever that is, you can definitely
add. Yeah, I've offered. I've offered to do webinars with them, you know, where we just, you know, I send an email out to the list and then they get to, you know, demonstrate things. I've also offered to do, like, product demos on YouTube. But yeah, the social media aspect is interesting. And then, yeah, also the conference end of things, that's also something that I could, you know, offer to put in there.
Did any of them bite on the demo or the webinar?
I've had a few of them that are interested in the webinar, and we're still in discussions.
Okay.
So...
You got a lot of leads that are in discussions right now. Are we keeping track of all of them? Do you have like a CRM or a spreadsheet? I mean, it sounds like there's a lot that could be closed pretty quickly, potentially, but I also want to make sure we're looking at the right numbers, right?
Yeah. I do have a CRM. I haven't been specifically tracking these deals. I probably should.
Yes, you definitely should. Okay, so that's going on your list. Okay. Does anyone else have anything? for Chuck, before we start to shift over to some other options, I'm writing this down for you too. We went over some of this stuff on Friday, but I really want you to hone in on the process of this, so that way we do get some of these closed up, especially for recurring, right? So that way you don't have to feel like you're just in sales mode constantly.
Right.
Anybody else want to share any ideas for Chuck?
I hate to say it, and maybe it's the obvious thing, but what about just going back to what works? I mean, you mentioned the series of changes, and one worked really well, and that was like the last one before you raised your prices. Maybe the price now is just a little too high for the market. I don't know.
Yeah, that's something that I've been considering. And, you know, maybe it just took however long for people to kind of fall off due to price.
Valid point, Jason. Thanks for saying that. It's true. What are they telling you? Are they saying just out of my budget, did you say what is your budget?
No, I didn't ask them what their budget was.
Okay. So that would be this for in the sort of sales 101, usually ask that before you even say any package. Because especially the bigger type companies, they do just have a budget and they're just trying to squeeze as much as they possibly can out of that budget, right?
Right.
And so they probably have already thought about what they can do. And because this new space is so crazy with podcast sponsorship, it's nuts. It's nuts as far as what people are willing to do and can't do and that sort of stuff. It's like, I'll pay $25 for an ad, right? All the way up to I'll pay ridiculous amounts and they won't actually see their ROI and then they hate podcast sponsorship, right? So I would totally ask that first. Like, what's your budget?
Right.
Okay, and then don't say anything and be like, I could work with that. Because I'm pretty sure you could sell them anything. If they actually have a budget, you'll just curate whatever that package is to whatever that they're planning to do is. Does that make sense?
Right.
And Sales 101,
yep, that makes sense.
Throw that out anyway. Great. All right. And if we could get better at this tracking, it'll be a lot easier too, by the way. So if we did go, okay, these were all the sales calls, this is what we pitched, this is what they said, and a bunch of them are saying it's too expensive, right? Then we know that we're too high on that spectrum, and we can start changing the packages based on some of that stuff. Does that make sense?
Yep.
It's just, it's hard when it's like, I think it's kind of like this, and it's a feeling more than a piece of data. Just like remote comp, I think I made 15 grand last time. Well, nope, it was 5. That's the big difference when you're starting to try and position on how much you have. And so I think organizing and figuring out what your system is for lead follow-up and how you keep track of notes would be really awesome. Does the CRM that you have for that side of stuff allow for notes, and does it work well, or do you need to shift into something else?
I haven't found a CRM that I like. I've been playing with one called Nimble, but I haven't really dug into what it can do.
I would even offer up an Excel spreadsheet with notes on it. I mean, that's what we use for a lot of our, we have Infusionsoft, but I'm not a huge, huge fan of it. It's a little too complicated, and a freaking simple spreadsheet can just keep all your notes and start to pull up the data that you need. So I might do something like that for now and not worry about which CRM is the best. But you've got, these are my warm leads. This is how often I'm following up with them. This is what they said in that end result. So that way we can make better decisions based on that. Does that make sense?
Yep, that makes sense.
Killer. Okay. Did you have any other questions, Chuck, on the sponsorship side for everyone before we switch over to the remote comp?
No, I don't think so. I think I've got a lot of things that I can work with here.
Killer. Now, the other thing is I have two people that I know that actually sell sponsorships on both sides, right? So they'll work with the podcastees, I guess you'd say, right, in order to try and get them sponsorships, and they'll work with the sponsors to try and get them the opposite and get them on shows. And so that might be an option, too. If you feel like you're like, oh, I'm banging my head against the wall, you can tap, I can intro you to her, and you can just start getting a pulse on where we're at, right? What the average CPM is, what we're actually currently selling right now, that sort of stuff. Does that make sense, too?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I've had a couple of those companies actually find me sponsors. The issue is that they only want to do one or two episodes. And then those sponsors never come back.
Yeah, the person that I know is in this space. She actually just started it because she was a podcaster before and she knows all of them. She's mostly in the business side of things, but it might just be helpful to talk to her anyway. Her name is Jessica Kuferman. So we'll talk about that later, but I'll put a little post on what her website is so you can check that out too. But it's really good to know, because if there are changes in the market, right, and you're like, okay, great, it feels like something's changing, talk to someone else and try and confirm some of those pieces.
Right.
Because I do think that will make a difference, especially for what our strategy is moving forward on that. Okay?
Yep.
Okay. So let's lay out the plan for what we have coming up for the remote conference. Because when me and Chuck talked before, and he's talking about low-hanging fruit, like, let's get cash in the door. I'm like, well, you have a conference a month away, so we can sell the crap out of the conference. So that way... That way you can bring in some leads now, and also we can work on the sponsorship side of stuff, because that's just going to be a continue. So if you guys see, I started talking about sending a just a quick email sequence to last year's attendees before we do the main email campaign that we would do, to give them a special bonus, to be like, you guys were here last year, right? Because it's similar, very similar content, but they're probably still newbies, which is his avatar. So if you look below, you'll be able to see some of those pieces. We also redid a lot of the sales page that me and you talked about on Friday. And so that was the first piece. And then the second piece was actually a launch to the list, very similar to what you, Jason, are doing, or Karen, you're doing with the way that you're selling your workshops. Or betas. So, Chuck, you tell me, because I know we went over this and I know you had questions, so you tell me what the questions you have first, so that way we can go over that, and then we can get everybody's input.
Right. So, basically, the sequence you had, as far as reaching out to people who attended last year, I mean, you know, I can do that. I can write the email. I thought up some bonuses that I can put out there that aren't going to take me a ton of time to put together. And so, you know, that kind of drives some urgency to buy. And I did make the changes to the website. I don't know if you went and looked.
Oh, no, I haven't yet. Remote comp. Okay.
So anyway, I guess the question is it says day blank and day blank, and I was just trying to figure out, okay, so do I send like two emails this week and then, you know, start sending emails again right before the conference?
Oh, okay. Or, yeah, me and you can hash out those little detailed stuff. Was there anything more overarching that you had questions on? Because I can follow up with that with you
so
later.
So the only other thing that I see here that I have a question about is, so I've helped a whole bunch of people get jobs or get better jobs. And so, I mean, I have a bunch of stories to tell, and it seems like there are two avatars. One of them is basically I went to the boot camp and now I'm trying to find my first job and it's not working. Or I'm trying to break into programming and I don't even know what I'm supposed to be learning. And then there's the other end of the newbie, which is, you know, sort of the advanced beginner where they've had a developer job for a year. They're not really learning anything in their job. And so they're looking for that next thing. And so is it something that I learn? Is it something that I, you know, should I just jump jobs? 'Cause I'll learn something there. And so do I write two emails and just send one out with one story and then send the other one out with the other story a little bit later?
You can put two testimonials in one email too. It doesn't have to be just one specific story.
Okay.
Yeah, either like testimonial emails in that sequence that I gave you can sort of go a couple different ways. One could be you have three different testimonials, before and after, before and after, before and after, right? So you're explaining exactly what it is. Or just pick the one that you think would resonate with all of them the most.
Right.
You don't have to go nuts so crazy on it. They just want to know that this works. Right. Please tell me that somebody else did this and I'm not crazy. Right.
Right.
So that's what we're looking at in that specific email.
All right. And then the other thing that I'm wondering about is in the first email, it's a story describing the problem of this avatar. So do I actually tell the story of one of these folks or do I just kind of say, you know, a lot of newbies go through this process. And this is how they feel and kind of push that pain button a whole bunch.
Yes. If we have a story of a real person that we can highlight the pain of what they were going through beforehand, that would be better. If you don't, then we highlight the pain of, does this sound like you, even though we don't have that specific person. Does that make sense?
Right. Mm-hmm. And then the other question I have is how – So what should the subject lines be on these emails?
We can chat about ones that work. This is sort of for everyone. One is the ones that worked really well, both for my list, but also a study was done by CopyBlogger. I think, Rivka, I've talked to you about this before. But it says, you are not alone, and that's it for the subject line. So for something like that, I would put it in potentially the testimonial email or something like that. So that way they understand, or the pain one where they're like, oh my God, so much pain. For some of the other ones, I would go back through the emails that you've sent already because your list responds to different things. We have a lot of data on a lot of our best subject lines and what works better to try and figure out or testing for more. I would go back through and figure out the ones that you sent last year and any ones that did really, really well for open rates. I would use something similar to that.
Okay.
First, I go based on data first,
yep.
As best we can. And then if we can't, and we can't hire like Lane to do it for us, because she's better at writing subject lines, it's trying to figure out that would tell them exactly what it is and get pique their curiosity. There's actually a whole, I'll send you a link to this list of subject lines that I might be able to help you with.
Okay. So I don't want to be saying, hey, newbie remote comp, blah, 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 in the subject line.
So you can, in the intro email, that's like, hey, this is what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in general, if you just keep doing that over and over and over again, they're going to be like, oh, my gosh, he's pitching this thing over again. I don't care. Right?
I'm right.
Not saying, well, but the whole point is to get them to open the email to hook them in.
Yes.
Like,
so
Karen,
do I
want to
send an intro email first and say, hey, I've got this conference coming up, or do I just hold off till later?
No, you can totally do that. That's what. So in the email sequence that I was showing you beforehand, and what I can do is I can go over with you the nuances of this email sequence that I laid out for you.
Uh-huh.
Because there's that intro day one sort of email that we were talking about. But while everybody is here, I would rather try and get like Karen or Jason, right, who have similar audiences to you as to what really made the difference on their side of things too, to make sure, like Karen, for example, I know Lane's been changing up some stuff for you, and you've been seeing a lot more sales recently at the beginning signs of your program. What do you think she's doing that's making all the difference?
The big difference, and we discussed this with Molly at the retreat, and Molly agreed, and it has definitely worked, is first, yes, we send, the very first email we send is like what is suggested here to last year's attendees. And then a separate email right at the beginning, so we have this like 1 week early enrollment period for previous customers of anything. So not people who took this before, but people who've bought anything from you ever.
Mm-hmm.
And we offer them a 20% discount if they buy it within that 1 week period, which is like 4 weeks out from when it starts.
Okay.
That's what's been bringing in all the people early.
Nice.
And I was actually a little worried, like, oh, no, these are the people most likely to buy, and we're giving them a discount. Are we going to end up with fewer, you know, just a lower revenue in general? And it has not turned out to be the case.
Okay.
Well, that works.
I think that's the biggest difference.
That's awesome.
In terms of getting people early. Yep.
Urgency and stuff like that, but there's a reason that they have to buy within that week, which makes perfect logical sense.
Yeah, and there are two emails to that. So one is at the beginning of the week, hey, you've got 1 week, and one is a day before the end saying, hey, it ends tomorrow.
Okay.
That second one makes all the difference.
Right. Yeah, so I can do that with my bonuses and just say, you've got a week.
Well, Chuck, your list is a little bit different, too. So you have the people that went to that conference last year, which is sort of the newbie one. If you were to send it to every customer of every conference that you've had, are they the same avatar? Or because they're not new, most of them, correct? All your other
some are and some aren't.
Ah, okay. So it might be worth it to do to everybody then.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, so I would lay out the plan of sending the ones that we talked about from the previous last year's conference to get a bunch of cash flow in right now, right? Send that email today,
mm-hmm.
right? And then
yep.
do that the potential week one, like Karen said. I might not even give them a week because we want to make sure we have enough time for, you know what? Maybe we would because it's 4 weeks out-ish right now. And then we could do this email sequence. And then we can talk about how the nuances of the email sequence that I laid out for you. But it's probably going to be very similar to something that Karen's done also. And Jason probably too, right? Because you guys have gone all in on this. And I think this is where Chuck is think of where you guys were before, especially Karen and Jason, right? And and like, hey, I just sent an email and hoped I got stuff to come in, right? I remember you guys at the beginning side of things. Not that it was that, but you know what I mean. And then learning this whole sales sequence and pushing and making sure you're hitting all the buttons and all that sort of stuff does make a huge difference. So you learning this side of the fence, Chuck, is going to be really important. So from anybody that's gone through and done copywriting of these types of emails, do you have any or this launch, I should say. Do you have any tips for Chuck as he's doing it? Because I also hear a lot of hesitation in his voice. I told him the exact email to send on Friday or Saturday, and you haven't done it yet either. So I want to make sure, like, what tips do you have to be like, no, this is going to be awesome. It's not too many emails and that sort of stuff in the couple minutes that we have left.
I'm definitely not great at writing emails, but, you know, the best-selling launch I had, I did write all those emails myself. Those weren't the ones from Lane, by the way, and that was several iterations. And so I think a couple of things that helped me a lot was you sent me Bushra's persuasion switches, and so I did go through that and make sure I hit all those. So if you could send that to him or I could send that to him.
Yep.
Another thing I did was increase the volume. So I know in the past I'd been like a little bit more hesitant about emailing often, but I did increase the volume. I even tried a couple per day, which was too much, but at least three per week seems to be a sweet spot for my audience, which is similar. And I know a lot of times people that will open one of those mails won't open the other two, or will open two but won't open the third. So I'm less fearful about sending more emails. I did do stories, and I related the stories to myself, so I did more storytelling. So I just think the biggest thing was I just threw a lot of mud at the wall and saw it stuck, you know, and just kept iterating and iterating. I've been doing that all year until my last launch, which was pretty good. And actually this launch I'm going to try Lane sequence again to see how that works and like compare and contrast. But I think, you know, Bushra switches, more emails than less, telling stories, downsell helped me a lot last time too. Those are the few things that come to mind.
Awesome. Thank you, Jason. And yes, totally figure out the email side of things when you send it, because sometimes we think it is. I talked to so many people where they're like, I don't want to send more. But just think of all of this as a test, Chuck.
Uh-huh.
And as we're taking the feedback and we're writing it down, so for next time we can go over and tweak some things, this is all going to teach you so much for all of these conferences. And like I told you way back when we started having a sequence that's sort of systemized, probably what Karen's doing right now,
yeah.
Right? That you can just pull out every time and know that these work really well will be huge for you, because I feel like you do feel like you're trying to catch up all the time. And when we can really, really refine this and create it and get feedback and move forward, that's how you do like Jason did and have his biggest launch ever, right? It's not like I just hit it off the ground as soon as I did it. It's really about refining and making sure that it works. Does that make sense?
Yep.
I would also add a few things we've done with these. They're generally 7 to 9 emails, and some of them, and it's not very segmented, but there were a few things that had never occurred to me that Lane suggested, like on some of them, she would do things like, resend the identical email using a different subject line to people who didn't open the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Later the same day. Like you send the first one at like 10 a.m. and then at 5 p.m. you resend it.
Okay.
And I was shocked at how many people opened the second one who didn't open the first one.
Totally.
And then I think the last week, in those 7 to 9 emails, it's like, you know, the day of, the day before, 2 days before that. So like those last 2 weeks each had, I think, 3 emails. And then before that, it was once a week. So you're slowly warming people up and then get them more and more as you get closer.
Okay.
And that reminds me, you mentioned about what you know, what about subject lines, and I would just track them. So if you're writing your emails yourself, do at least come up with 3 different subject lines, if not more, and then pick the one that you think is going to work, and then record it. And so I have all my emails in a
Google Doc, and then every time I do a launch, and after launch, I go back and look at my numbers, and I plug them in. Oh, people opened this subject more so than this one, and they clicked on this one more so than that one, and that kind of thing. And then you can
right.
kind of track that and figure out what will work. So just make your best guess, but come up with a few different ideas. And like, you know, like Jamie said, she'll send you some ideas on some subject lines anyway.
All right.
Lots to do. I know. Try not to be too overwhelmed, but don't worry. All of this will make you money. That's the whole point of it all, right?
Yeah.
So don't worry. I'll tap back in. I just put a link to the Bushra Ultimate Guide to Persuasion, which is going to be good for anybody that's listening that wants to go over that. It just lays it out really, really simply. And that's in the action items on Chuck's form. So I know there's a lot, Chuck, and I will follow up with you as far as a little bit more of the nuances. But what I would love for you to do as your main action item is to put this all in a Google Doc, right?
Uh-huh.
So all, exactly what you're laying out for your email sequence, not only because I want you to have it for later, but I also want to take a look at it once it's done, okay? So that way you can feel
all right. Sounds good.
Okay. So everybody, just so you know, I know we talked about hot seat shakeups. So I'm going to be doing a video either Wednesday or Thursday talking all about that. So next week, there is no hot seat. We're actually going to be walking through an intake process that I'm going to be doing with the new group that starts in the fall later, because I want to make sure you guys, and this is good for you either way, to make sure you know who does what and sells what and what your most popular distribution methods and all that fun stuff, because these sheets are great, but they're getting a little too full. So we put hot links at the top, and what we're going to be doing is creating the intake process so you guys know exactly what your goal is along with everything that you sell, very systemized, so it's easier for, especially as you switch groups. Some of you are switching, some of you are not, of course, but you'll be able to know who's doing what and just have that level of clarity for your own business too, because sometimes we need that, right? I know we went a couple
yep.
minutes over, but you guys let me know if you need anything at all, and I hope you have a wonderful, amazing week, and I hope my plane flight on the way back to Philly, I just told everybody before they hopped on, my flight got canceled, so I have no idea if I'm going home tomorrow or not, so wish me luck. We'll see how things go. I hope you guys have
good
a
luck.
Fantastic week, and let me know if you need anything, okay, guys?
Jamie, awesome. Can I ask a quick question?
Oh, sure. Everybody else can hop off. And Karen, yeah, go ahead.
So I just want to make sure about just changing the group and with the schedule, because I was very happy to have a three-week vacation that I wasn't going to have a hot seat, and I just want to make sure I'm not going to.
Oh, don't worry. No. Yep.
Okay.
We're actually off the week of July 4th anyway, and next week you're going to be gone too, right? I think that was the week of your vacation.
I'm still here Monday. We leave Tuesday, so I'm still here Monday, but that's
okay. Yep, you're in the same time anyway, and I'll just make sure that when we do lay out the hot seat who's where, I'll just make sure that you're not there because it's your vacation. I totally get it.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. Just wanted to make sure it wasn't one more thing I had to worry about before I leave. So.
I got your back. Don't you worry.
Okay,
about
awesome.
I want you to have a wonderful, amazing three-week vacation. So.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Let me know if you have any other questions, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye.